Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
Hello, fans. This is Rooster, and welcome to episode 229 of SMQBs. I'm joined by my buddies House and Milk. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yo. What's up?
We shall be joined by Bison shortly. We start the show tonight with our typical opening segment of what interesting sports person would you like to take to a bar tonight? Milk.
Well, I'm going to start with Pat Murphy, who 90% of our listeners have no idea who it is. That is the manager of the hottest team in MLB baseball. Your Rooster
Milwaukee Brewers.
Milwaukee Brewers. That's right. 53-17 in their last 70 games, which is absolutely ridiculous. They have an 8-game lead over the Cubs now in the NL Central. They had a 14-game winning streak that did snap yesterday. They did lose on Sunday. But look, they've got a good lineup. Contreras, Yelich, of course. It's a bunch of guys you don't even really know. They're not in the mainstream. Sal Frelick, Joey Ortiz. They do have Freddie Peralta, who's having a heck of a year on the mound. But watch out for the
Brewers. The rookie pitcher got all the attention before the All-Star game.
Mizorowski. Yeah.
Mizorowski.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Hot team.
Aren't they in the midst of a doubleheader today with the Cubbies? I think they are. I think it's an important series for the Cubs. The Cubs need to reestablish themselves because the Brewers are running away from them.
8 games.
The Brewers won game one, 7-0.
So they're 9-0.
Yeah.
It could be double digits by tonight.
House, who are you taking to the bar?
Well, I'm going to stick with baseball. You guys probably heard that in the Little League Classic, which is a cool thing that Major League Baseball does, Little League Classic this weekend, the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, will be joining me at the bar. I'd like to talk to him to find out, is he just playing a little head games with the players' union talking about expansion coming up? This is right before a collective bargaining agreement dispute that's going on. He's talking about expansion. People are thinking possibly Nashville, possibly somewhere in North Carolina, like Charlotte or Raleigh. And, of course, that would have a whole bunch of waves. But if expansion occurred, he alluded to the possibility of making geographical realignment. To make travel.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, boy, oh boy, would geographic realignment be a shot in the arm for Major League Baseball. I think Major League Baseball could use renewed rivalries that are based on geography. I think interleague play has kind of killed off some rivalries now that you get to play everybody at some point in time. I mean, imagine the Mets and the Yankees in the same division. Sheesh.
With the Phillies
and the Red Sox. That would be explosive.
Put all the rich teams in one division together.
I never understood why the Detroit Tigers were in the American League East.
Yeah, but Milk, your whole whiny for the 4 games under .500 Tampa Bay Rays, your whole thing would be a limit. You would want all the money in one division. That only means one team likely comes out of that. They all kill themselves. That allows small market teams.
The Marlins and who else?
Why would you want big market teams in a whole bunch of different divisions? Put them
all
in one division.
That's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
And we can just
the Rays are going to suck no matter what.
All year.
I appreciate the fact that baseball is still hot and we're not even close to October yet. But I'm pumped that football is upon us. And fellas, the Jackson Dart train has left the station and I am on board.
Oh God.
Is that who you're taking to the bar?
Jackson and I are going to have a drink in the club car, baby.
You told me you were going to take his mom to the bar.
I never told you that.
Dude, he looked good.
Are you buying into this whole Jackson Dart BS?
100%.
Oh boy.
Wow.
He could be the starter game one and be better than Russell Wilson, but I hope that doesn't happen. He needs to be developed.
Okay. Brewster is very high on the preseason. Anything that happens in the preseason.
I love Jackson Dart. He's the man. Everything he does is just right. His press appearances, his handling of the team in the huddle, his relationship with the head coach, his poise under pressure in the pocket. He's just doing great. Anyway, before we get to our first segment on college football, when I take a little snooze, let me just thank one of our sponsors, Supio. If you are looking to add AI to your portfolio as a law firm, Supio is the hot AI provider right now. Check them out at supio.com. Milk, are you ready to kick off some discussion about the Big 12, the ACC, and the G5?
Yeah, I'm going to do the Big 12 and ACC.
Let's try to juice this up a little, baby.
I'm gonna leave the non-power stuff to House so he can talk about Tulane for.
That's when it gets juicy. That's when it gets really juicy.
The Big 12 is interesting, especially this week because they have a massive matchup this Saturday, week zero from Ireland, Iowa State versus Kansas State, both in the top 25. We all remember Arizona State last year, kind of the surprise team. They were picked to be last in the Big 12 and went on to almost upset Texas. And of course your boy Rooster, who you don't talk about enough, but I mean, Cam Scatabo, your New York Giant.
Baby. He's hurt. He's hurt. Yeah, otherwise I'd be pumping him up too.
Right. I mean, come on, he and Jackson, but they've got a great, great quarterback, Sam Levitt. You probably remember from last year, and Jordan Tyson, they did replace Cam. They got a transfer from Army who's coming in, who I think actually is pretty good. They run the ball a lot. So I think they're going to be – they're pretty much the team to beat, which is not saying much. Arizona State is the team to beat in the Big 12. But Iowa State and Kansas State will certainly be up there. They'll rival them. We're going to see them, like I said, right off the bat here, week zero. Rocco Beck, quarterback at Iowa State, veteran. Avery Johnson at Kansas State, also a veteran. These guys all played for the last couple of years. Really, you know, as much of a high-powered offense as you can get in the Big 12, should be showcasing. So if you're starting to watch college football and get back into it, tune into the Ireland game, Aer Lingus game this Saturday at noon Eastern, because it really actually will be a pretty good game. One of the teams I'm interested in the Big 12, and the Bison would like this. In fact, there he is. Bison
what
has
up,
joined
Bison?
Us.
Bison!
Oh, the on? Boston College guy.
Yeah, there he is. Well, this is a – so keep an eye on Texas Tech this year. Texas Tech is your stereotypical NIL experiment, okay? I don't know if you guys saw this, but they went bonkers in the offseason spending money. Second most spent money in the NIL. They're backed by Cody Campbell, who is a billionaire 45-year-old booster who's funneling money into that program. They bought all sorts of players and brought them into Texas Tech in the offseason. This is Bison's wet dream.
I love it. They bought all sorts of players.
Oh, they brought it. They were fighting with literally like top five Alabama and beating them because they were paying more money. So this should be interesting. They actually have a really good quarterback, Baron Morton, who threw for Texas Tech. By the way, fun offense. They throw the ball like on every down, shotgun offense every play. Throw for thousands of yards. They tightened up their defense. They should be very interesting to watch. Keep an eye on them. We'll see if the NIL and the transfer portal actually can make a big difference because they only went 7-6 last team. But I expect big things from them. I like Kansas this year. They have a Jalen Daniels who seems like he's
still
been
talking about the Big 12.
Yeah, we're talking about the
Come
Big
on,
12.
Man. Pick it up.
I'm about to get to your team, man. I want to get actually your input on Colorado. Anyways, Kansas got Jalen Daniels. He's a kind of a preseason Heisman candidate. They'll be pretty good. Big question is, how's Deion going to do this year? He's got to replace his kids and Travis Hunter. I don't know if they've named a starting quarterback, right? They haven't. I think it's Caden Salter, the Liberty transfer, and Julian Lewis, who was a recruit, are still battling it out, right?
That's what I hear.
I mean, he had arguably two of the best players in the country on that team last year, right?
Yeah.
One. Yes. Who was the other one?
Travis Hunter.
Well, Shador was one of the better quarterbacks.
Shador should have been drafted. Look, we all know he should have been drafted in the first round.
Unfortunately, he lost out to Joe Flacco today. So
right. But I'm just saying he was an NFL drafted quarterback. I mean, he was, you know, he had two really, really top flight players on the team. So it's going to be really interesting.
And it looks like his brother is going to have a good shot at getting in significant playing time for your team, the Bucks, Milk.
I think he might make the team. We'll see.
He's going to make the team. He may crack the like nickel defense lineup.
Yeah, easy. I don't know about that. But yeah, actually, you know what? Caden Salter's really good. I don't know if you follow. No one has. Actually, I know the answer already. None of you followed Liberty football over the last 2 years, but they just
missed.
I'm still trying to adjust to the fact I live in Virginia, and I'm still trying to adjust to the fact that Liberty is a Division I football school.
They were a top 25 team. Ugh. Come on, right down the road. He comes from there. He was really good. So
God bless him.
Yeah, he may not have. Colorado should be interesting.
By the way, speaking of religion in football and all this. All this, you know, booster money. How long do you think it is going to be before the Vatican gets involved with Notre Dame?
Oh, no, some NIL deals?
Yeah, baby. We get some Vatican money behind Notre Dame. Look out.
I love Bourbon Mondays.
The Pope starts funneling money in. This is
why
outstanding.
Not? Why not?
Well, wait a minute. Because the Pope's a Villanova guy.
It's true.
That's right.
True.
He's not giving his money to Notre Dame.
He might put it to Villanova. Interesting.
He does seem more like a Boston College Villanova guy.
Yeah, look out. Yeah, look out, Villanova football. Here it comes.
Anyway, so that's Big 12. We need to make a decision on Iowa State, Kansas State. For some people on this call, we're going to have to make a wager on that one Saturday. I'm leaning Iowa State. Arizona, sort of a sleeper for me in the Big 12 this year. FU nerd. I like their quarterback. He's been there for about 25 years. And he should do well. All right, ACC. So very top heavy as usual with Clemson at the top. I love Clemson this year.
They're really good this year, right?
They're fourth in the country, top five team. Cade Klubnik coming back, been there for 3 or 4 years. Antonio Williams, Bryant Wesco, Peter Woods, defensive tackle. TJ Parker, defensive end. These are all top guys. And the best part about Clemson, which I love, and this is to Bison's liking too, is that Dabo still hates the transfer portal. He loves to recruit from within. All of these guys have been at Clemson from the start of their career. Most of the guys on Clemson have. He dabbles a little bit, but this is their year, I think. You know, they are going to be tested very early, actually August 30th. August 30th, by the way, for college football fans, is a huge weekend. It's the opener weekend. There are tons of games. Texas, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, August 30th. Two head-to-heads going at it. I really like them this year. It would not surprise me if Clemson is the number one team in the nation in the next 6 weeks.
Milk, I have an ACC question for you. It's clear as a bell that it's Clemson and Miami, and then a big fall off to like Duke, Pitt, and SMU. Do either of those three teams, Duke, Pitt, SMU, have any chance of knocking off Miami for the second position in the ACC?
I'm not sold on. What about UNC under head coach Jordan?
That's what I want. That's what I want to know.
UNC is barely in the top 10 of ACC teams.
How long does it take
and the
him
ACC
to turn
sucks.
That program around?
How long not does it take?
To, it's not going. It's not happening.
Not this
year.
They're
they'll be lucky to be a 500 team.
Although
this year.
I will tell you, they will surprise you. I like their quarterback Max Johnson, who got injured last year in the first game. Brad Johnson. You remember Brad Johnson, right, House?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Easy.
It's his son. He's pretty good, actually.
I remember Brad Johnson. I think he knocked the Bucks out of the playoffs 1 year.
I'm sorry. What? No, he won a Super Bowl with the Bucks. That's all I remember.
He also knocked you out.
Yeah, he played for the Redskins, too.
Yeah.
I am not sold on Carson Beck, guys. I didn't like him last year. Florida almost beat him. I don't think he's that great. I will say this. He has a lot of help. He has the best offensive line in the country, without a doubt. But their schedule for an ACC team is horrific. They've got to play Notre Dame. By the way, that's on August 31st, the day. So 30th, 31st, first weekend of. Did I get cut off?
I think Rooster, it could be you, but here's the thing.
It's you, Rooster.
I think it's you, Rooster.
Nobody else is doing this. It's just Milk.
If Pope were here, and we miss him, I know that he would declare unquestionably, unequivocally, I know that he would declare his football team all season long, no matter what, will be Alabama. So let's just put that on the record that his one team this year is Alabama.
His top one of five.
No, his one team is Alabama. He's put down that marker. Right. He proxied me to say that. But his former other team and where he actually went to college and where he has bona fides to actually root for them, do not sleep on SMU this year.
Wait a minute. But isn't UNC also in there?
No. SMU, and the SMU took TCU his money.
Wait a minute. I want to go back to something. He dropped SMU?
He's Alabama.
The only school he actually went to.
I mean.
But wait a second. Let's just say that. First of all, SMU is going to finish this year in the top 15, and for a while they're going to be flirting in the top 10.
Okay,
do not sleep on SMU.
So House, I have two questions that's come from that. First of all, what week do they enter the top 15?
Three.
All right, and so the over-under then on what week Pope starts claiming them as his team again is week three.
Week three, he'll have a SMU hat or visor on for the show.
So right around week three and a half, we'll start hearing about how good SMU is.
By the way, he's now also, he's expanded from having multiple sports teams to having multiple citizenships. He now has Scottish and U.S. citizenship. So he's got that covered too. Go Gales.
Go Gales.
Boy.
Drink every time he says that SMU got the death penalty while he was there, and that's why he roots for Alabama.
Hope, come back soon. This is unfair. Can we get over to the Power Five?
Oh, my God.
Because the Power Five teams I'm going
on,
to talk
wait
about.
Wait a minute. No. Okay. Hold on. First of all, I do think Kevin Jennings is probably the second best quarterback in the ACC. Bison, that's SMU's quarterback, in case
he's
wondering.
Excellent.
You don't want to talk about Duke, House? You want to talk about their quarterback?
Let's talk about Darian Mensah. Let's talk about him.
Come on. By the way, Duke quietly went 9-3 last year.
I think they're the third best team in the ACC. A
very good team. Tell me about Mensah.
Darian Mensah has been consensus rated as the number one most highly rated player in the transfer portal. Like, the top move of the whole transfer portal was Darian Mensah, who in spring practice last year at Tulane University was like almost not even on the depth chart. And then he shocked everybody. He was just a man among boys in spring practice. And then he led that team to an incredible, incredible year. And I told my kids while they were there, I said, enjoy it now, because he and Mekhi Hughes are both gone. And Mekhi Hughes is at Oregon. And Darian Mensah is a starting quarterback. I think $4 million a year. I think $8 million of transfer portal money in NIL to Duke. They have a very, very good coach for quarterbacks. We all know about one Daniel Dimes, how special he was in the NFL.
He will be throwing dimes in Indianapolis.
I think we haven't seen the best of Daniel Dimes yet.
But you're focused on August 30th and 31st. Uh-huh. Might I interest you in Saturday, September 13th or whatever it is?
Duke at Tulane.
Oh,
wow.
You going to be there?
Oh, yeah. Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Okay. Interesting.
All right.
I like Duke. I like Duke this year.
What's
Georgia
next
Tech
up
sleeper,
for college
by the
football,
way.
For Milk.
Well, let's go to the. That's good for my ACC house. Over to you.
Hey,
you can talk about Tulane.
Here's the only reason we're talking about Group of Five, because none of these would put a scare really into any of the top teams. But I do like that many years ago, these teams fought for a seat at the table and have earned it. And so, reminder that in this 12-team playoff, there is essentially a spot reserved for the highest-ranked group of five teams, which are all the non-Power Four conferences. This year, the teams you're going to want to be thinking about, all of these teams received votes in the top 30 of the coaches poll, including Boise State in at number 25, and then also Memphis, Tulane, UNLV, Army, Navy, and in coming in 30, Buffalo. Now, let me just irritate Milk for a second with UNLV.
Because I know their coaches.
Yeah. Now, he got you an SEC championship, but Dan Mullen, probably the UNLV coach, former Mississippi State and Florida coach.
Was that the guy with the sling blade haircut?
No, oh, that's Billy Napier, our current coach.
Oh, that's your current coach. Yes. He looks like he cut his hair with an axe.
Yeah, yes.
What's fun about some of these teams is because of the portal, they've pulled in some good quarterbacks. UNLV has a Virginia transfer, Anthony Calandria. They had a really good
– UNLV was good last year.
They were very good last year. UNLV could make some noise. Tulane has acquired quarterback Jake Retzlaff, who led BYU to, I think, a 9-0, 10-0 start. He has looked phenomenal in spring practice. Again, Tulane opens up with Northwestern and Duke. So we'll find out right away whether or not, you know, they're going to make some noise. Boise State lost Ashton Gentry, but has this quarterback, Maddox Madsen, and a running back who won't be as good as Gentry, but Sire Gaines. Don't forget him. Boise State is probably right now, the odds are, the most likely team to come out of the group of five and get one of those playoff spots. But if it's not Boise State, look out also for Memphis. If there's a sleeper, a couple sleepers here, Blake Horvath, the quarterback at Navy. Navy had a phenomenal year last year. They're returning most of that team. Sometimes when a system returns and if people stay healthy, there's no reason they can't build upon that success. UT San Antonio has a quarterback, Owen McCown, who's very, very good. Their coach, Jeff Traylor, is good. They could make some noise. Look out if there were a sleeper. I think James Madison, JMU, started out last year at 9-0, and then they hit some bumps. But early on this year, they play Louisville and Liberty. And if they get past those two early on, they're going to be the one to beat. So there's a lot of teams making noise. I know Milk loves so much the South Florida Bulls right there in Tampa. They start out versus Boise State and at Florida and at Miami. If somehow they stay close or even upset one of those, Milk is going to have some competition in his hometown, and he loves the South Florida Bulls, don't you?
No, please. Hope they lose every game.
So, is there an avenue, is there a way that Milk's old coach, Mullen, gets into the playoff?
Please.
Sure. Absolutely.
UNLV is not bad.
Is there a way that that can happen and Florida doesn't get in?
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
Where are you going with this, Bison? Don't you do this to me.
I got to have a reason to root for things in college football. This is one of them.
Oh, God.
The only thing better is if you have to play them in the first round and they knock you out. Now, that would be fun.
I will tell you this, Rooster, because I know you're a semi-Notre Dame fan. Boise State plays at Notre Dame October 4th. Watch out.
All right. It's not just me. It's Darcy.
That's right. That's right.
Let's do our annual terrible job of picking the Heisman Trophy winner for the upcoming season.
I thought it was Arch Manning. Are we even discussing this?
Is it anyone other than Arch Manning, Milk?
Well, I think
do you think there's a quarterback at Florida?
Can I just say that Arch Manning has had two career starts so far and 95 pass attempts? So what's the body of work that we're basing this on?
No, I'm kidding.
Wouldn't you say that Carson Beck has to be a favorite?
He's going to have
weapons around him.
I think Nussmeier.
Nussmeier and the guy from Clemson, maybe.
Klubnik. I think. I'll throw DJ Lagway in the mix.
What are you talking about?
He'll be a Heisman candidate by midseason.
Don't you think the guy from Penn State's in the mix?
One of those Ohio State wide receivers.
Yeah, no, the Ohio State. That's who I
Jeremiah Smith.
Jeremiah Smith as my dark horse.
Yeah, and I like Penn State's quarterback too.
Drew Aller is there.
Yep.
I mean, Arch Manning is plus 600 right now, with Klubnik and Nussmeier plus 900.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those.
Jeremiah three. Smith is plus 1,200, and Drew is 18 to 1.
Yeah.
Lagway's 22 to 1.
Look, if Arch Manning blows up, it's his. Sucks.
Well, if he earns it, he earns it, right? If he blows up and earns it, he earns it.
If he's a Manning and he acts like a Manning and plays like a Manning, he will win the Heisman Trophy. Without a doubt.
There you go.
He'll be the only Manning to win the Heisman Trophy. That'll be big news.
His uncles couldn't beat Florida. Actually, Eli did, but Peyton couldn't.
Okay. Well, this message goes out to our buddies out there in the legal community who are managing law firms and have been duped by some marketing bro to buy the latest and greatest software package that their entire firm now hates. Cut your losses and go to Assembly Software. Assembly is tried and true. They've been around forever. They go back to needles, pins and needles, trial works, and now Neos is the best cloud-based case management software system. So rip the Band-Aid off and go to assembly.com.
Rooster, you know, when you get a phone call with Neos, you can actually link it right into the case. You can
just
can call. That was my son, and I silenced him just for this show. So
the SMQBs won the face-off.
I was giving you legit info about Neos. You
suck can make, it, Junior.
Make calls,
suck it, Junior.
Right from Neos and save it and everything. So
Python's a Neos user, right?
Yes, he is.
Absolutely.
Yes, he is.
Absolutely.
Let's revisit the, since we're all lawyers and we like to talk about stuff we know about. House. Let's revisit the legal roundup that we started last week. We Coach Flores, the Vikings coordinator, has been embroiled in a years-long lawsuit against the NFL alleging racial discrimination. And then John Gruden is suing the NFL for leaking the fact that he may be a racist. So other than racism, what do these two cases have in common?
Well, as I was talking about last week in the buzzer beater, you know, for a while now in our space in the legal world, the United States Supreme Court has said that when you fill out a contract and that contract includes a provision that instead of going into a courtroom with a jury, instead you have to go to an arbitration. Unfortunately, the United States Supreme Court has said those contracts are upheld and you have to honor the arbitration provision.
And that's really important for everyday consumers out there. Because when you sign up for anything these days, credit card, anything, you name it, you're scrolling through this online document right to the I agree click, and you haven't read, none of us have read anything that preceded I agree.
How about if you were a service member in our military serving the United States of America and you get called to serve overseas and while you're gone, you forget to make a mortgage payment and your house gets repossessed by the bank and you go to sue the bank and you can't get into a court of law because the bank had an adhesion contract and you're stuck in an arbitration. Like, these are real things that happen.
And why is arbitration a bad thing for common consumers?
Well, this is why Daniel Flores won his case. Because arbitration is not a real – you're not really having a true adjudication of your rights. You are there in a stacked deck. And so what happened in
I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, House, but just for people who don't follow this very carefully, it's stacked because typically it's a three-person panel of arbitrators, and the professional arbitrators are constantly picked by industry, and typically if you're arbitrating against a credit card company or a bank, they're going to get to pick at least two of those arbitrators, and they're all friendly, pro-business friendly arbitrators. So you are starting out your arbitration behind the eight ball, period.
Well, and Rooster, it's even worse in the Flores case.
Right.
Because in the Flores case, you have a single arbitrator. And you know who it is?
How about that Roger Goodell?
Yeah, what? The commissioner.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's being paid only over arbitrator. $40 million by the owners.
By the owners.
To carry their water.
The defendants in that case are the Denver Broncos, the New York Giants, the Houston Texans, and the National Football League.
Right.
And the commissioner of the National Football League is going to be the arbitrator.
The court actually wrote in the Flores case that it offends basic presumptions of fairness. I mean, yeah, I think so, right?
Do you realize that in this case would never have existed if Bill Belichick had just been dating that teenager back then? You know, the whole case came about because Belichick called the wrong Brian. Thought he was crap. Calling Brian Daboll to congratulate him on getting the Giants gig.
That's right.
So just as a reminder, because we've had a couple of really interesting episodes on this, that many years ago, to try to advance minority hiring in the NFL, the NFL instituted the Rooney Rule, which required that any time there was a vacancy for head coach and maybe even one of the top assistants, like offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, that there had to be a person of color that was interviewed as well. And basically, Flores said that he was just a token, that the Rooney Rule, he was not really being legitimately interviewed for these positions in Denver, the Giants, and Houston, and he has proof of it.
Well, the proof, part of the proof is that Belichick called him accidentally before he was actually interviewed.
Right.
He was calling Brian Daboll to congratulate him for getting the job before the Giants actually interviewed Flores.
So Flores knew it was a sham. But what's really kind of interesting about this one decision, because this went up in the appellate courts as well. We have a system where, you know, there's a trial court level and then it goes up to a higher court. And so this was in the geographically the New York area called the Second Circuit, because that's where the NFL is. And what's interesting is here they weren't really looking at arbitration jurisprudence. That is, they weren't looking at arbitration law to say, the way we read the Federal Arbitration Act, this is an unfair. They basically said, this is so bad what the NFL wrote that this isn't even in arbitration jurisprudence. You can't have an arbitration where the sole arbitrator is the commissioner of the league that's being sued. So the NFL, but you have some bad lawyers who wrote that up for you.
Well, it does make you wonder, too, about the NFLPA's lawyers, right? Because this is part of the collective bargaining agreement. I mean, who rolled over on this in the first place?
Good point.
But, you know, I think another thing that's worth noting about this, too, and again, we know we have a lot of lawyers who listen to us, but for the non-lawyers, it's important to keep in mind, this doesn't mean Flores wins his suit.
Right.
All it means is now he gets an opportunity to develop his case through discovery, possibly, because I imagine there will be motions to dismiss before discovery takes place at a trial court, at a court level, as opposed to an arbitration level. So for Flores to actually win, he, number one, has to get past the initial motion to dismiss stage, which is based on legal standards of, is there even a case that could ever be proved with any set of facts? Then he's got to go through, it, you know, months, if not years of discovery to learn the facts to develop his case. Then he's got to get through another hurdle at the summary judgment stage where the court says, or the defendants will say, you've heard all the evidence that's available. He still can't win as a matter of law. And then, only then, will he get to present his facts to an actual jury. So while this is a big, important ruling, it doesn't mean that he won. All it means is that he won his right to try and develop his case in a court of law.
Doesn't the NFL have to be freaking out at now you have Gruden and Flores possibly going through discovery and throwing, I mean, the NFL's going to be back into a corner here.
Yeah, well, this just became a material term of the next collective bargaining agreement that they have with the NFL players. Because like you said, Milk, they don't want to be exposed like this. Yeah. These are two big exposures for them. My guess now is that they will resolve the cases with both Gruden and Flores and, you know, those. Well, I mean, Flores already has jobs, but I think Gruden's going to be back in the NFL before long.
The interesting thing from a Washingtonian standpoint is that the whole Gruden thing, where those were emails back and forth with one of the most evil people to come across Washington football, Bruce Allen, and probably were leaked, many people think, by Dan Snyder.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because he wanted to throw everybody off of him.
Or Goodell, because there was a lot of nasty shit about Goodell in those emails.
Yeah, that's right. So it all comes back to those two pieces of shit, Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen.
I mean, how would you like to be, I mean, Gruden, you can say all kinds of stuff about Gruden and what was in those emails, but in terms of fairness, how would you like to be Gruden having to have your case arbitrated, decided by the commissioner of football, whom you excoriated in all these leaked emails?
Yeah, yeah.
Called him all kinds of derogatory names and all kinds of stuff.
And by the way, on the Gruden case, my understanding, tell me if you guys think I'm wrong, the NFL has asked for a rehearing from the Nevada Supreme Court on the case. So they're not going quietly on that level. They're going back and saying, oh, this ruling is so flawed, you need to take another look at it.
Yeah, good luck with that. Judges these days don't give rehearings on much.
No. Rough week though. Next thing you know, they're going to stop Goodell from hugging all the draftees, right? I mean, it's going to be an injunction. You can't hug these guys anymore, brother.
More sports in the legal news. Mr. Affable himself, Shohei Ohtani, may just be a stone cold killer in the business world. Apparently, he was brought in. Allegedly, he and his agent were brought in to be celebrity endorsers of this big real estate deal in Hawaii. And the allegation is that they thought when they got wind of, you know, what a great deal it was, they decided to squeeze out the actual developers who brought them in and force the banks and the lenders and, you know, everyone else to force out the initial developers and replace them with Ohtani and his agent as the developers. And so now they're being sued for $240 million, which probably doesn't even break a sweat for Ohtani, right?
I kind of feel bad for the guy. What? I mean, well, I do. He was being used here, and he's being used on both sides of this. Like, this is big news because it's Ohtani, and Ohtani is in the mix because he lent his name. The guy said, whoever this guy is, Bilalo, who's really
agent.
The target
his
here.
His agent, though.
Okay, so
get
the
a better agent.
Okay, fine. But, like, the guy's playing baseball. He's from Japan. The guy says, let's lend your names. We'll be able to bring in some high-value investors into this business deal. You'll make some good money on it. He says, you want to use my name? That's fine. Apparently, this Bilalo guy is the biggest jerk, and he was being a very disruptive force in the negotiations. And when the plaintiffs, the people who are suing, you know, started getting upset with Bilalo, Bilalo said, if you don't knock it off, I'm going to pull Ohtani. So he kept using Ohtani as his weapon to, like, threaten them. And then they said, we've had enough of you. We're suing you, and we're going to sue Ohtani.
Well, before that happened, the lenders, I think, said, we side with Bilalo, and plaintiffs, you're out. So they actually disrupted the deal for the plaintiffs.
Well, I'm not sure, despite the headlines, I'm not sure how substantively Ohtani was in the middle of all of this. But just goes to show, like, whoever, what was that famous guy that, you know, that the Miami Stadium used to be named after, that crazy young dude that,
Joe
what was
Robbie?
The name of No, yeah. What was it called? With the one that went up in smoke, the company that was worth billions of dollars and worth $0.02 the next day.
Yeah.
But it was the same deal. Tom Brady and other people were lending their names to it because whatever, they were getting some vig on the side. It is should be a caution to all these guys, Ohtani and all these. You're making enough money. You're making $1 billion, Shohei. Like, you probably don't need to make another couple hundred in Hawaii.
He needs to stick to the gambling. That's where he does.
I mean, you know, speaking of always getting let off the hook. So, more thanking of our sponsors in the legal world. Our SMQB's website was developed by Digital Law Marketing. And it's really their first venture outside of law firm website development, just because we asked them to, and a couple of us are their customers. They really do a fantastic job of creating websites that actually generate business for you and don't just look nice. I spent from 2010 until about, 2021 or two, I spent that entire time looking for a website developer that actually did more than just report things to me that were meaningless. And I found it in digital law marketing, where they were reporting to me every time we talked, here are the number of clients you signed up as a result of our website. And that's what you want. You want organic originations. And if you want, and if that's what you want, you cannot beat digital law marketing. Check them out at digitallawmarketing.com. All right. Who, someone put on the agenda, Travis Kelce. And is he being yokoed by Tay-Tay? Who wants to talk?
That was House.
That was House. Talk about this, House.
I'm about to have to jump, but because there's a Cal Raleigh is waiting for me in South Philly for me to go boo him. But and make sure you cover my punch there, Milk. I put it in the chat. But if we're not punching the Washington Nationals, I'm protesting next week. But I don't know. Rooster basically said a funny thing in text about, like, you know, get your girlfriend on a podcast when she, whatever, sells a big app. The numbers are staggering. The numbers are absolutely staggering. There's no bigger pop star in the whole world than Taylor Swift, and the New Heights podcast went nuts. Yet that's amazing. But I have a question. I know that this is just a podcast, and we're 3-4 weeks away from the start of the season. Is Travis Kelce still focused on football? That's what I want to know. Is he being yokoed?
What I hear is he's embarrassed by his performance last season and has shown up in much better shape, ready to go from the start. And in fact, I would take him in the fantasy draft.
In a fantasy draft?
Where you could get him probably in like the 10th round because everyone thinks he's washed. I think he's going to have a comeback year.
Wow. I mean, House, I think they were doing this podcast back when your boy Jason Kelce was playing football still.
That's
so
true.
I mean, and they were doing it during the season. So, or was Jason retired?
No. I think his last season. I think you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think doing the podcast during the season is anything different than what he's been doing the last 2 years. In fact, that was actually how he met Taylor, was through the podcast. So it was before that. It was before her that he was doing this podcast. So I don't know.
I do think that his world travels last year messed up his season a little bit. He was out of shape. He was done.
By the way, look at Jason's last year when they got crushed by the Bucks in the playoffs. So come on. He's done. Kelce sucked last year. Bison will defend her all day long. This is a non-topic.
Yeah, it is.
I agree.
Milk, we want to thank your company for being our fourth sponsor tonight. Tell us a little bit about Injury Board.
Oh, it's a membership organization of the top plaintiff trial lawyers in the country. Two of them on this show with me right now, Bison and Rooster. Our next event, from what I hear, will be in Tahiti.
I know. That's amazing.
Tahiti.
I don't know. I'm predicting face tattoos for everybody.
Can our members not go to Tahiti, have some drinks, and then put on the listserv that we should do an event there?
And by the way, the other two SMQBs who are not on right now are also members of Injury Board.
That's right.
And I can attest that the best cases I get outside of my organic originations from our website are through Injury Board networking. So great networking group, great educational group. Check them out at injuryboard.org. Let's circle back to fantasy football, where our Injury Board Fantasy Football League is meeting this weekend, Thursday through Saturday.
Not associated with Injury Board, just to make that clear.
Yeah, even though it's called IBFFL.
It's called Skull and Bones. No, what are you talking about?
What are you guys talking about?
What?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we don't talk about
edit
this,
that.
Right?
Edit that. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys. Wanted to throw. We already covered quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Wanted to throw in some last minute warnings to people like Andy Darcy, who's prone to drafting people who retired the year before. There are some players who are either suspended or about to be suspended. Jordan Addison has got a 4-game suspension on him, and the league is pushing for a double-digit game suspension for Rashee Rice. Haven't announced the number of games.
But that's not happened yet, right?
No, it hasn't happened yet, but that's what they want. He will get some games.
Has he had a hearing already? Are we just waiting for the punishment?
I don't know, but I know that the league... I think that he had a hearing because they asked for double digits. We haven't heard the outcome. So, you know, worst case scenario is you draft Rashee Rice and he's out for 10, 11, 12 games. Even if best case scenario, he's going to be out at least as long as Jordan Addison for 4 games, probably longer. There are some players that are injured that don't look like they're recovering very well. One of whom is Stafford, quarterback for the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
His back looks, it seems like, you know, he's old enough so that bad back is a big deal. And he has not thrown a pass in preseason. Jordan Love has an injury on his throwing hand. That's a big deal. He's a notorious slow starter. You throw in a bad thumb, I'd stay away from Jordan Love. And then Laporta, the tight end for the Lions, I think is injured, right? What do you guys?
He better not be. I drafted him this week.
You drafted him. I think he's injured. And I'll tell you, best player on my team on the Giants, Malik Nabers, has a toe injury, which is a big freaking deal for a speedy wide receiver.
He went way too high this past weekend in my draft.
Turf toe. I wouldn't draft that guy. I wouldn't draft him where he deserves to be drafted based on his talent because of that toe. There are some people I think who are rising up that I would draft that I might not have thought about earlier in this whole process. One of whom is the rookie wide receiver for the Packers, Matthew Golden. I think the other wide receivers on that team have managed to reinforce what we all knew last year is that they all have bad hands. Matthew Golden, on the other hand, has great hands. Apparently he's got really strong, his hands are stronger than most people's, and he just doesn't drop the ball. So I could see him quickly becoming Jordan Love's favorite target. I think Ricky Pearsall on the 49ers has a golden opportunity because, you know, they've lost Debo, and I think isn't Juwan hurt? Jennings, he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Jennings is not going to start the season in the starting lineup. He's hurt. I think that it's going to be Ricky Pearsall and Kittle. And that's it for targets on that team. So he'd be a good choice. And I think Calvin Ridley is finally going to shake off the cobwebs and the rust from his gambling suspension and get back into form this year. I'd take a risk on him. The other thing I would mention is, and I know this is just based on preseason, but you can tell a lot from the way a veteran quarterback plays in the preseason. And Geno Smith and Sam Darnold have both shown that they're not a fluke. I'd be comfortable if taking the milk approach and waiting late to draft a quarterback. Even if I was stuck with Sam Darnold or Geno, I think you could get by with that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, unless you did what I did, and then you're stuck with Kyler Murray.
Murray's going to get a couple names. Ground, right?
I like Kyler Murray. I'm fine with that. But a couple names because people are doing their drafts probably starting this week and this weekend. You know, you're sitting with a top pick, and you're staring at Justin Jefferson with J.J. McCarthy throwing you the ball? How do you feel about Justin Jefferson this year? And I would say the same thing about Amon St. Brown. With so much, I mean, you know, Goff has so many targets now. And Gibbs is going to be more featured out of the backfield in the passing game. What do you do with those two wide receivers? And do you take Justin Jefferson in a top five pick?
I'm worried about Justin Jefferson because I don't know anything about JJ yet. I mean, people, yeah. I know the talking heads are saying, look, they took him for a reason. They know quarterbacks in Minnesota. You know, he's the real deal. I didn't see it at Michigan, and I haven't seen it yet, so I'd be worried. On the other hand,
they've got a pretty good coach too, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what they're saying. Yeah. Is that coach knows quarterbacks, and if he thinks he's good, he must be good. I believe that, but I haven't seen it. I have seen it with Goff. I think Goff is a proven entity, and you throw in Jameson Williams, and now more of Gibbs. Yeah, I think there's going to be a little bit more spreading of the ball, but you know, I'd more comfortable with that than J.J. McCarthy at this point. Because, you know, although with Jefferson, you're going to be four games without Addison. So they're going to have to hit him hard in the first four games.
I want to give you one other player to be careful drafting. I'm not going to give you any sleepers, but I want to give you one to be careful of. That's Brian Robinson for the Commanders. Not a top pick.
But you know where he's going to be playing.
Yeah, a guy who would have been a second running back on a lot of teams, and you just don't know where he's going to be. He's on the trade block. He's not playing in the preseason game tonight. So I think his time in D.C. is probably wrapped up. So just
why is that? I mean, I like him. He's a good running back.
He's tough. You know, but he really he dropped off last year quite a bit. I mean, he runs real hard, but he doesn't seem to hit the hole. He doesn't have the vision. I just think that he's a free agent at the end of the year. So I think the idea is they're going to trade him and try and get something. He's not special. He's not a special back. He plays hard. I like the kid. Wish him all the best. He got shot in the leg to start his career off. Somebody tried to carjack him and he came back and played that year. So good kid. I wish him well, but he's just not going to be long for Washington.
Who's going to replace him? Austin Ekeler?
No, we don't want to talk about that. Rooster. We're not going to get into that tonight. Okay. Let's not give away all the secrets.
And so any concerns with drafting your boy, Terry? I mean, that's really the big
there's got to be, here's the concern. I think he's probably not going to be sharp in the first 2-3 weeks of the season. I still can't believe they're not going to get a deal done with him. I mean, but here's the thing too. He's under contract. And they can franchise him the next 2 years. So, you know, he's not in a really good place. What's he going to do? Not play this year and then not play next year and not play the year after that? I mean, I love Terry, but I think his agent really failed him this year. And
I mean, he's making $23 million this year, right?
I think he's making $18 this year. But it's a last year. I mean, I get that he wants an extension. I just think I think they're holding out for too much.
33 per year, by the way.
Yeah. And he's 31. That's the problem. Metcalf got 33, but he's 2.5 years younger. That's all the talk. Yeah. I don't know. I think you sign him no matter what it takes. You get that guy in. He's your number one. You don't want to go into this season without your number one after all the good vibes from last year. But I do think there'll be a minute before he's, you know, up to regular Terry speed.
All right. Punchable face of the week. Anybody have a punch?
It's this week's punchable face.
No?
No.
No. Wow.
First in a while.
Wow. Must not have been paying attention.
Well, I mean, we could punch Philly fans every week if we wanted
to. Yeah, let's just punch the Phillies and the Eagles.
Anybody
and
have a lasso?
And K-Lot.
I have a lasso.
All right, good.
Kind of a cool story. Brooke Johnson became the first woman to skateboard across the United States.
What?
She finished her journey in Virginia Beach, actually, over the weekend. It took her over 100 days. She did it to honor her stepfather, who passed away after suffering a spinal cord injury. She raised over $50,000 for spinal cord research. I guess it's the Wings for Life Foundation is the specific organization. Candidly, I feel like the country, I feel like we ought to be able to raise a little bit more money for her. She skateboarded across the damn country.
Right.
I think she's like 14 years old or something. She's young. I mean, she's a young kid. But 118 days, she went from Venice Beach to Virginia Beach.
Wow.
Raising money, skateboarding her way across the United States. Congratulations.
Yeah, gracious.
Cool little story. Brooke Johnson. You get a laugh. So.
Yeah. Cool.
I'd last like 2 days and then I'd have to quit.
Yeah.
That's okay. Impressive. Next and final segment, buzzer beaters.
I got a couple buzzer beaters.
All right. Lead us off.
Well, my first one, I was late getting here, so I missed my drink at the bar, but I'll mention it anyway. Rich Eisen will be back hosting SportsCenter at 11 p.m. tonight. His first time back hosting SportsCenter in 20 years. So after the Commanders-Bengals preseason game tonight, Eisen will be back hosting SportsCenter. You know, there's been all this kind of merger stuff between the NFL and ESPN, and so Eisen's going to have a little bit more time with ESPN products, I guess.
That'll be great.
So, yeah. So first time
much
back.
Needed, too.
Yeah, they need
the current ESPN.
Yeah.
Hosts.
He'll be hosting it with Mina Kimes tonight. So check out SportsCenter tonight. And then my second buzzer beater is happy birthday to one Brian Mitchell, probably the guy who has the biggest gripe of not being in the Hall of Fame. Brian Mitchell has the second most all-time all-purpose yards from scrimmage in the NFL. He's 216 yards behind Jerry Rice. He's got just almost most career kickoff return yards, most career punt return yards, most career total return yards. Why is this guy not in the Hall of Fame? Yeah. First team All Pro in 95, two-time second team All Pro, won a Super Bowl. It's a joke. Happy birthday to B. Mitch. You should be in the Hall of Fame, buddy.
Definitely. Definitely. Milk, got a buzzer?
Well, I think we just got to quickly recognize Scottie Scheffler, right? I mean, Bison, you were talking about it yesterday. That 82-foot chip that went in was absurd. I mean, it was a Tiger-esque moment. And we seem like we're heading in that direction. I'm not ready to go there yet. But five tournaments this year, I think.
Milk, is he having a run? Look, Tiger had a longevity, right? Yeah. And the short, not short, you know, year or two dominating runs, right? But Scheffler's having that kind of run now.
I still don't think the numbers pan out. Like, I still think Tiger's way ahead. I don't know. I haven't seen the latest stats, but it's hard to deny what's, I mean, if this guy does it again next year, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, we can say that we haven't seen a stretch run by a single golfer like this since Tiger.
No, but you know, you feel it because he's got the intangibles. Like it doesn't feel like a quick Jordan Spieth. I mean, look, psychologically, you can rip on him all you want, but I think his chill nature to golf is like, I don't know, maybe I'll win five tournaments, maybe I won't.
My son Patrick is not a golf fan at all, and he was watching it yesterday, and I was doing something, and he kept saying, Dad, you got to check this out. Scotty is choking this away. He's choking this away. He's going to choke. He's in the rough. He's in the rough off the green. The next thing I hear him screaming, oh my God, I can't believe that went in. You know, yes. So I think he's now starting to bring in the casual fan too with shots like that, which is, you know, it's going to make him more of a star. Because
his ability to maintain a lead, and also when he's there on Sunday to close, which McIntyre could not, yesterday is starting to feel Tiger-esque.
It wasn't just that chip was like, what'd you say it was, 82 feet?
It was 82 feet.
I think part of it you have to talk about is the 6 feet that behind the cup. Like if he was long on this, he's off the green again, right? Like there was nowhere, like if you miss that, you're back off the green. So
I mean, it looked like so many, but did you notice like at one point it looked like it just was going straight downhill on that green? I mean, there were so many things he had to go through to get that
insane.
In.
Insane.
It was crazy. Good for him.
All right, I've got a final buzzer. The first woman in the WNBA to get a statue made in her name is now Sue Bird. Congratulations, Sue Bird. Go UConn.
Where are they putting the statue?
I think it's in Seattle. I'm not sure, though.
Huh, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good one. That's a good one. I like that.
Not shocked she went to UConn.
All right, that wraps it up, fellas.
All right, guys.
See you Thursday, right?
See you Thursday.
Right, yeah,
not you,
Bison.
You're in Friday.
I'll see you Friday. Yeah, I got to take care of Nerd.